Greetings. I'd like to take a few moments and share some thoughts about what I think that Christians need to be doing in these bizarre times that we live in. At the very end of Colossians chapter 4, Paul says in Colossians 4, 2 and 3, "Continue earnestly in prayer," he told them. "Be vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains." What we really need more than anything is for God to help us. Whatever dependence that we've been extending to Him obviously is not enough. And we need to depend more upon God. And we need to be asking Him and constantly in prayer, and I think every day, that He would open a door to us for the Word to speak the mystery of Christ. One of the most difficult parts of trying to do evangelism today is that it just doesn't seem like hardly anybody is interested in the concept of truth, let alone the condition of their souls. And I can't emphasize enough that one of the things that God, I think, really is impressing upon mankind throughout the Word of God is our dependence upon Him to do that work of grace in people's hearts. God has to create a spiritual hunger in people, or they're never going to be interested in Him at all. And that's one of the issues facing the church today, is there's so few true conversions, because there are so few people who are interested in anything related to God. And that's part of God's judgment upon this country for its innumerable sins. And so what Paul said to the church in Colossae there, "Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ." We need to be asking God to do the same thing for us. We need to pray that God will open a door, that He will stir in people's hearts a sense of fear of Him. And the fact is, God is just as holy as He's ever been. He is just as much to be dreaded in terms of His anger against sin and the coming judgment. The spiritual indifference that is all around us in our culture and society, the lack of interest in the things of God, does not detract from the reality that God is there, and the reality that His judgment is real, and that everybody is going to be facing that judgment, and all will be summoned forth before it. Just as much now, in a time where there is a low ebb of spiritual vitality, as much now as there is during times of great revival, when God has cut through the fallowed ground and really caused people to see the danger they're in and caused them to turn away from worldly concerns and to turn their eyes to Him. So we need to be in prayer as a church. Whatever denomination you're from, if you're in a Bible-believing church that loves the true gospel and preaches that gospel, we need to be in prayer that God will stir people's hearts to see the danger of the wrath of God that's coming against them and against our country. And people need to turn to Jesus Christ. They need to repent, acknowledge their sin, feel a sense of shame and revulsion at their personal sin against God, and turn to Christ and follow Him. So I just would encourage Christians to reflect upon what Paul said there. Pray for us that God would open a door for the Word. If God doesn't do that, then all of our evangelistic efforts are for nothing. And I'm deeply, deeply concerned, not only for the future of the church in my generation, but I really wonder, will there be any churches that love the truth and preach the gospel that are around for my kids and for their families when they're older? And we need to be thinking long term. So please, if you're a Christian, I know looking at the political situation around us, the upcoming election, it's frightening to think about. And there's no question that the political leaders that we have today, and the level of dishonesty, of contradictions on things that they say, the logical fallacies and all the nonsense that is definitional to political discourse today, that's a reflection of the overall character of our country. We have a representative form of government. We elect our own representatives, and our representatives reflect the character of our country. That's what is so frightening to me. The leaders that are coming up for election, Well, they're the leaders that reflect the character of America. And what frightens me more than anything is I think we're going to get the leaders that we deserve to get. And so what we need more than anything is for God to change people's character, for God to change people's hearts. And only God can do that. And all of our preaching and all of our attempts to reach the lost and to try to share the gospel with people that are around us are for nothing if God doesn't open that door. That's why Paul said, his own understanding, pray for us that God would open the door. You hear what he's saying? We're dependent on him to do that. If God doesn't change people's hearts, if he doesn't make them interested in the things of God, then nothing's going to happen. Yes, it is faithfulness to the gospel. We need to preach that gospel. We need to try to share it with people around us. If our neighbors ever come out of their houses, it would be good, to meet them and try to, invite people to work or to work to church, to invite people that we work with to church, things like that. But if God doesn't open the door, then all of our preaching, all of our evangelistic efforts are really for nothing. So please do keep Colossians 4, 2, and 3 in mind. Listen to it again. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ. God has to open the door for that word to have success in terms of converting people. And God is the one who has to convict people of their sins. It's a daunting thing to realize that I can't make someone feel the weight of their sin. Only the Spirit of God is able to do that. And so we need to ask him and beseech him to do that, because more than anything, that's what America needs. America needs to be born again. America needs to be converted. And so we need to pray and ask the Lord to do that, to visit us with a revival of his Spirit. Another section of scripture that has really impressed upon me recently in thinking about the future of the Christian church in America, speaking about the ascended Christ in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul said this: he who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And verse 11, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Now the key point there, again, just like Paul said in Colossians 4, 2, and 3, we have to pray for God to open a door for the word into people's lives in order for it to be effective in converting people. Here, we learn that it is Jesus Christ who gives pastors and officers and teachers to his church. I would encourage Christians, now more than ever, what we really, really need to see is a rising generation that loves the Word of God and that has pastors and teachers in it that will preach and teach the Bible, and that there will be churches where people can attend where they're not going to get pop psychology and they're not going to get the seeker sensitive stuff and they're not going to get a gimmick or something like that. But they're going to get the scriptures opened, exposited, stated, illustrated, and applied. That's what we need. And if Jesus doesn't give godly men to his church, the church is doomed. And so those are two things that we need to be praying for as Christians. Whatever denomination you're in, if you're a Bible-believing church that loves the Word of God and loves the true gospel, those are two things you can count on, you can always pray for, that doors would be open for the Word of God to be preached to people so that people can be saved and converted. And secondly, that God would raise up godly men to be pastors and teachers in the church. The need is so great. And the resources are so scarce. There are not very many godly men in the church today. It breaks my heart. And I pray every Sunday morning in my pastoral prayer that God would raise up godly men for ministry. We need that so badly. And I pray for that because I recognize what the scriptures say here. It's Jesus who gives such men to his church. And if he chooses not to do that, then the church has no future. And so I would encourage ministers and churches in general, look for talented, godly men in your midst and encourage them to use their gifts. Encourage them to teach Sunday school. Encourage them to test and see how they do. And then if they have those gifts, encourage them. Subsidize their seminary work. Encourage them to become trained and help them become good churchmen. We need that so badly today. And so please pray for those two things, that doors would be open for the word of God, for the evangelism of the lost, and that God would stir in the hearts of this lost country and the thousands of lost people around us who really seem to be completely oblivious, completely indifferent to the things of God. Pray that God would change that, that God would open people's eyes to realize there is a day of judgment coming, and that they are going to face God as their judge, and that they need Jesus Christ. They need his imputed righteousness. They need his cross work to pay for all of their sins. And pray that God would raise up godly men to be ministers, to be elders and deacons in local churches. All of those men are gifts of Jesus to his church. When I was in seminary, a professor once told us at the beginning of a class lecture, he said, "Okay, everyone, turn your computers off and turn everything off and put all your stuff away. Get your Bibles out. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And he read those words I just read there. He himself, speaking about Jesus, ascended into glory. He himself gave some to be pastors and teachers. And he asked us this question, and it was a hard question to think about. He said, "Do you men see yourselves as gifts of the ascended Christ to his church?" If you're going to be a teacher in his church, do you realize you are a special gift that Jesus gave to his church? That's a hard thing to think about, because I don't feel like a gift of Jesus Christ. I feel like a broken sinner with feet of clay who tries to be faithful to the word of God, who tries to be faithful in my pastoral duties, but I always feel like a failure. I always feel like I'm falling short. I'm letting somebody down in some way. It's very hard to see oneself that way. But if you are a pastor or teacher, brothers, if you're a pastor or teacher watching this, you're a gift of the ascended Christ to his church. So see it that way. Act that way. Try to realize what a humbling thing that is. And try to be diligent in the discharge of your duties. Be diligent in pouring yourself over your text that week, realizing that if you exposit your text and you state it and illustrate it and apply it to people, in their lives, that the Spirit of God works through that to change people and to do great things. So, fellow Christians, in the face of the lunacy and insanity that's going on in our culture today, we need to pray that God would open a door for the Word. Because if He doesn't, no one's going to be converted. He's got to open that door. And secondly, we need to pray that God would raise up godly men in the church, that Jesus would, in His grace and in His kindness, that he would give more pastors and teachers to his church. Because if he doesn't do that, the church doesn't have a future. And so let's do that together as Christians. Let's pray that God would open the door for the word and that God would give us more pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the works of ministry. In the face of all that's going on, those are the things we need to be doing more than anything. Thanks for watching.